foolish, maybe I'm blind, thinking I can see through this and see what's behind. Got no way to prove it, so maybe I'm lying. But I'm only human after all. I'm only human after all. Don't put your blame on me. Don't put your blame on me. Take a look in the mirror. What do you see? Do you see it clearer? Or are you deceived in what you believe? 'Cause I'm only human.
All right. Free pancakes to the person who can tell me who sings that song. Who is it? The artist. Who is it? I know you all listen to Shine FM. What's the deal, man? This is the number one song on the drive right now. Rag and Bone Man. Yes, only human. All right. What I'd like to do is I'm going to put the lyrics back up on the screen. You may or may not be able to read them. They're going to be small. I'd like you to take 2 minutes and talk to the person next to you about what this song is about. Go. All right. Tell me what you got. Just call it out. What's the song about? Yes, James. Wow, very interesting reading. For those of you that couldn't hear, James... we'll give James all the credit. James is saying that this guy's coming from the perspective of a priest who is saying that I can help you, but I can't solve all your problems. Interesting. Interesting read. There are no right or wrong answers. Let's just call out other ones. That's great. A man taking heat from his wife for not doing his chores, okay? What's this guy wrestling with? What's this guy wrestling with? Garrett? He's saying, I'm trying to do the best I can. I'm still going to fall short. Don't put the blame on me. Yep. Good. Yep. I see that hand at the back. Interesting. That's a great reading. So for those of you that didn't hear, he's saying that maybe there's an internal struggle going on. There's sort of a war between good and bad going on inside, and he wants to do some good things, but then there's the bad things that are happening as well, and he's wrestling. Awesome. Friends, I use popular culture regularly up here. One of the reasons is because we need to be engaging with it. This is the number one song on the radio, and I recognize that it's not to everyone's taste, right? But it is very important that we learn to communicate with our culture. And I have a number of pop culture references in here today. I don't do it to entertain us. I do it to teach us that we need to be engaging. So here's my reading, maybe just a recap of some of the things that have already been said. But this is an honest reflection, I think, of where our culture is at the moment. Some things are wrong, whether it's outside of us or inside of us or both, and we feel a little bit helpless. We can do some things, but we can't fix everything. And we're a little uncomfortable with both taking blame and assigning blame, but nevertheless, you can't get away from the fact that there's some sort of guilt and blame going on. He's in sort of a muddle, isn't he? I want to take us back to a message I preached a couple of weeks ago. I don't really expect that you normally memorize the messages, but I think you'll remember this one if you were here. We talked about a debate happening on the show Community. Do you remember this? Yes, you do. I'll put the slide up there. There's a debate happening on the show Community. For those of you that haven't seen this episode, go watch this episode. The title of the episode is called Debate 109. You can find it on the internet. It is hilarious. And it is illuminating, too, because it's wrestling with the same question that our song is wrestling with as well. There are two groups of people on this show, and they are assigned the task of debating, is man good or is man evil? It's their language. I'm just quoting them. All right? Are we good or are we evil? I'm not going to go over the debate again, but essentially at the end of the debate, it's the man is evil side that wins. And I think that's illuminating because this is our pagan culture analyzing itself and going, yes, yeah, something's not right here, people. It's not Christians writing this show. Very, very interesting. Why is it important, though? Why is it important whether we need to, why do we need to decide, are we good or are we evil? That's what I'm going to be dealing with here for a little bit this morning. First reason I think it's important is because our culture is talking about this. And if our culture is talking about it, we need to be able to engage with that. Very, very important. But I think it's important as well because Jesus actually weighs in on this age-old debate and has something to say about it. And if Jesus weighs in on something, maybe we ought to take that seriously. So I told you that debate, not just to tell you about something that's happening in our culture, but as a way of saying that Jesus takes this question really seriously about how we answer the question, are we good or are we evil? The answer ultimately is going to determine whether or not we actually need Jesus. Like, it's that serious. Now, I know some of you hear that question and you go, but is it really binary? Are we either good or evil? Isn't both? I mean, that's what the song is wrestling with, as our friend at the back mentioned, which is a great analysis. Well, yes, obviously it is ultimately both. But it's not just that we do wrong things. It's that we sometimes do right things for the wrong reasons. Seinfeld. Remember Seinfeld. George Costanza is dating this woman. And they're out for dinner. And they've been going on quite a number of dates, always going out for dinner. And he notices that right after dinner, she runs to the bathroom. And he's starting to get worried that she is what he calls refunding in the bathroom. And he gets really upset about this. And he's talking to his friends, Jerry and Elaine, at Jerry's apartment. And Elaine's like, oh, it's so nice that you care about this woman. And he says, of course I care. I'm paying for those meals. She's flushing my money down the toilet. Sometimes we do the right things for the wrong reasons, right? It's not just that we do bad things. Sometimes we do good things. George cares about this woman. That's the right thing. But he cares for the wrong reasons, right? Something like that lives inside us too. Preaching. I'm obviously, enough of you think that preaching is actually a good thing, that you pay me to do it. You're paying for the pain. Sorry. But, I mean, we sit under Scripture and we think that this is good, and it is. And I do it because I have many positive motivations. But you know what? This actually scratches a little bit of an itch for me too. Just to be honest. Okay? Sometimes the good things that we do are not always for the right reasons because there's something wrong inside each of us. Each of us. We're never truly altruistic, are we? Maybe occasionally, but consistently? I don't know. The point is that we are divided. You know, that song that's on the radio, if you ever listen to anything other than Shine FM, I feel something so wrong doing the right thing. I feel something so right at doing the wrong thing. That's a great analysis of our culture. Rob and I were serving pancakes the other week at Normando School and it came on. He's like, this is a great analysis of our culture. So I'm just ripping him off right now. Man is evil. Jesus says there's something wrong with the central part of us. And that was the burden of that message a couple of weeks ago. Matthew 15:19. For out of the heart come things that go wrong. There's something wrong deep down inside, and it comes out in a myriad of ways. It's not just that we make mistakes. We make mistakes because the part of us that chooses inside is off. The problem ultimately is a three-letter word called sin. Rob defined this the other week. I thought it was brilliant. It's essentially saying yes to ourselves. That's all sin is, saying yes to yourself. When you choose yourself over God, we worship ourselves. The result of saying yes to ourselves rather than God is death. And I realized that to us, that sounds like an arbitrary punishment that God somehow imposes on people from outside because he's angry with us. If you take one thing away from this message this morning, please take away the fact that that is dead wrong. Death is just the flip side of sin. You cannot separate sin and death in God's thinking, because God is the God of life. And if we choose something outside him, we have opted out of life. Death just comes with it. Did you follow that? Because it's really, really important. God is not some angry God arbitrarily punishing us, and the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death because death comes along with sin as a result of it, because we have opted out of God himself, because we said yes to ourselves and we tried to find our own way. So you'll see this up on the screen. This is N.T. Wright. Death, as always in biblical thought, is the result of sin as humans turn away from the life-giving God. God is often in the Old Testament called the living God for this reason. Humans have turned away from the life-giving God and vainly attempted to find life elsewhere, and we never do, because there isn't life elsewhere. There's only life with God. So sin takes us away from God, which takes us away from life. So sin and death go hand in hand. It's just two sides of the same coin. But there's something else that happens as a result, and this is where I'm going to spend the bulk of the time today. The results go beyond sin and death. Sin and death, what they have done is they have frustrated the purposes for which God made us. They get in the way. They turn us in on ourselves rather than functioning in the way that God made us. So this is just Genesis, but I'm just putting it back into perspective here for us. God had a purpose for humanity. He has a purpose for you and for me. And our purpose was to make the good world that God gave us even better. That is the reason that God puts humanity in the garden. We are placed in the garden to take the good world God has made and make it even better. They are to serve it, they are to care for it, they are to protect it, and they are to extend it. That is the basis of Genesis 2. That's what they are to do. You have a purpose, but it got frustrated by sin and death. Sin and death enter into the equation, and instead of functioning in the way that God has designed human beings to function, we turn away from God, we opt out of life with him, we turn in on ourselves, and suddenly we don't function the way humans are supposed to function because we've opted out. So there's the formula. You see it up on the screen. Sin and death lead to frustration of the human purpose. We just don't fully live up to it anymore. Now, why is it important to get that diagnosis right? It's important to get this diagnosis right, that we are not entirely good, because Jesus himself goes to the cross on the basis of this. If you are good, like really deep down good, you don't need this. We don't need the cross. We don't need Jesus. Jesus' death, in fact, becomes completely meaningless and rather tragic. But for the rest of us, there's good news. Death and sin are dealt with. Sin is dealt with at the cross on Good Friday, and death is dealt with in the resurrection on Easter Sunday. Sin is covered with Jesus' blood at the cross. That's actually not a bad line in that song we've started singing recently, "Where your love ran red and my sin washed white." That's not a bad line. See, I can quote Shine FM too. Something happens on Good Friday. Good Friday itself deals with the sin that we have in our lives. But then we come to Resurrection Sunday, and it's resurrection that deals with the death. And together, when sin and death are defeated, it means that this formula up here has a new aspect to it. And that's where we're going. First, This is the completion of the quote we started with N.T. Wright. He says, death, as always in biblical thought, is the result of sin, as humans turn away from the life-giving God and attempt to find life elsewhere. So if death has been defeated, it must mean that sin has been defeated as well. The resurrection of Christ is the assurance that he has dealt with our sin on Friday, and he's dealt with death by Sunday. They come as a package. Both are dealt with. And now we get to move on. We get to move on. We get to start functioning in the way that God made us to function. God is in the process of restoring humanity, restoring creation. The whole point of the cross and resurrection is to get us back on track. It's to get us back on track with the purposes that God made each of us to live out uniquely and individually. It's going to be the restoration of our full humanity. That is the point of resurrection. That human beings get put back on track. If anyone is in Christ, that one is a new creation. And we are going to be recalibrated. We are being recalibrated. We are being turned back into the image of the one that God has made us to be. You'll see this on the screen, Revelation 1, 5 to 6. Christ loves us, says John, and freed us from our sins by his blood, that's Good Friday, and made us to be a kingdom, priests, to serve his God and Father. He didn't just save us from our sins in order that you go to heaven when you die someday. That is a tragic misconception. You have been saved from your sins so that you can be the fully human person that God has created you to be and continue on in life with him, functioning in the way that God has designed you to be, starting now and continuing on. It's not that we're just waiting in the interim for something else to happen. Resurrection is the start of that future life. Come back now to the present. Because of what Jesus has done. So Revelation says that we are to function as priests. It says that he has made us priests. So every single person here is considered a priest by the writer of Revelation. What is a priest? It sounds rather unsexy. A priest is a link between God and the rest of the world. That's it. But that is profound. You are the link between God and the rest of the world. About a year ago, we did a series where we were talking about what it means to be made in the image of God, and we used an image that N.T. Wright had come up with. He said, image of God, you need to think of it as an angled mirror. God up here, the rest of the world out here, and we are to reflect God's image into the world. We are to reflect God's good rule, his character, and the things that he wants to do in the world. We're to function on God's behalf. That's what it means to be made in the image of God. That's a priest. This is what priests do. They mediate God to the rest of the world. That's what you are. That's why I suggested the other week that your kids need to be in public school, but I'm not going to chase that rabbit today. You can continue sending me letters. And I would be happy to continue that conversation. I genuinely mean that. Happy to. Because this world needs people to function as links between God and themselves. Your job and my job as the unique individual that God has made you is to be the link between him and the rest of the world. And you're going to do that uniquely in the way that God has made you personally to be. And it's not going to look anything like the way that I function, because I am a unique individual, and so are you. So how do you live like a priest? How does God actually want you to make this world a better place, to be that link? Well, you have to figure out how you were designed. And I mean uniquely, literally, how you were designed. Let me tell you a story. When I was in seminary, I took a whole course. It was called Vocation, Work, and Ministry. The entire thing was about how do we help people find their place in the world in the way that God wants them to? There was a pastor who was teaching it. He was a career pastor. He'd been a pastor for 30-something years, and then after that, he went on to become a professor. So he had this role as pastor, and then he started this role as professor. They're sort of similar, and then he became an author after that. So he's doing the pastor, professor, the author thing. And, like, I'm waiting for this is him to say, this is my vocation, this is my calling, this is the reason God made me. And he did say those things. And then he went on to say in the very next sentence, and I am called to go and make this world more beautiful. And what he put up on the screen was a whole bunch of pictures of some incredible woodworking that he had done. And he said, this, you can put that stuff up there, that's cool. He said that this, the ways that I function creatively are part of the way that God has made me, and he actually wants to use that in the world to make this world a better place. So I'm not talking here today about God raising Jesus from the dead and resetting us to make remaking us in his image to send us out to all be missionaries or all be pastors. I am suggesting that God has made you individually to function in the way that only you can with the skills and talents that you have to bless this world and make it a better place, because that is actually his purpose for you. So, artists, musicians, you need to show us non-artistic people what God is like as an artist. And that is going to be one of your contributions to making this world a better place and extending, starting what God does with good creation, and you take good creation and you make it better. That's your job as an artist or as a musician. If you're a gardener, you're a biologist, you're a farmer, man, you get to teach us about what it means that God wants this earth to be sustained. You get to teach us how God nourishes people. You get to teach us about creation care, about the conditions that are necessary for growth. That's your gift to the world. You may just be really gifted with kids, and that's not a just. That is an incredible opportunity and gift that you have to steward young minds and teach them about character, to develop their skills at a very young age and set them going in the right direction. That is an incredibly profound thing. And you might never get paid for it. It might never be sort of that sexy vocation near the top of the totem pole, but God gifted you for that, and it's incredibly important, and that's what he actually wants to do with you. You might be really good at sewing and knitting, and you get to exercise your creativity to make this world a better place. Find ways to bless others. Repair people's clothes who have no idea how to do it themselves and can't afford new ones. You could knit things and send them to third world countries, as many knitters often do. You could create simple clothing and donate it to people. You can find, you know, young mothers who just need one more blanket and bless them with it. You might be really into sports or exercise. Personal trainers, you know, they teach us how to take care of our bodies, to remind us that this is how God made us. Our heart actually needs to pump a little bit once in a while. Edith is smiling. Yes, absolutely. You people get to help us become better versions of ourselves. This isn't pagan stuff I'm talking about. This is simply the logical outflow of sin took us away from our purpose. Resurrection has dealt with sin and death and has therefore put us back in the direction that God always intended us to be. This is completely logical. This is completely biblical. It goes from Genesis and it ends in Revelation. This is the human project, and God is restoring it on Easter Sunday, and you get to be a part of it. You might be really good at cooking. Go bless the world with that. You might be really good at fermenting. Lord bless you. Plumbers have already made this world a better place. You know, whatever it is, your makeup actually matters. It's the way that God wants to use you. You might be really good with numbers and efficiency and organization. God has blessed you with that skill. Please take it to people who are completely helpless and bless them with it. Make this world a better place. You have gifts. Look at the gifts that you have. Look at the things that you do in your spare time. Look at your passions, because God gave them to you for a reason. I challenge you to pray every day for the next month, God, take my gifts and show me how you want to use them to bless this world, to steward what you've got, what you have given me, to make this world a better place, to reflect you into the world. I challenge you to do that. There's one thing I have left out of the equation today. There's one thing that's missing to be fully and truly human, and I'm leaving it out, and I'm challenging you to go find it. But be truly human in the way that God himself defines it. And you can only do it with him. But this is the point of Jesus' resurrection, is that it puts us back on track. Becoming fully human, becoming uniquely yourself with the gifting God has given you to make this world a better place. That song started out with, I'm only human after all, and I'm in a muddle. But because of Jesus, he's in the process of taking us out of this muddle. He's in the process of restoring the things that went wrong and setting us straight. So be yourself in the personal, intimate way that God has made you with him. With him. Resurrection is the start of that. Let's pray. Lord, we offer you ourselves. We have desires, we have gifts, we have skills that you have given us, and often we don't think of them as something you'd like us to use to make this world a better place. So help us to partner with you to bless others, to take care of the world you have entrusted to us, and to see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.